Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the EDG Sports Network, home of the unsung sports grid. Visit us at edgsports.com and follow us across the socials for up-to-the-minute sports news. This podcast is the property of EDG Sports, LLC. Now, it's time for the show.
And hello, everybody. It is Thursday, and it is our version on blogtalkradio.com. We're kind of giving you a special edition of our Hump Day podcast. Johnny Sunship's yours truly here with Joe Ferrand. Like I said, it's Thursday. A couple things doing. It's vacation month. It's August. We're all busy living our lives. But we're coming to you today at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on August 12th of the year 2021. Baseball game going on a little bit further to the north of where I am and Joe is. But it is NFL preseason week one. And let's bring in my esteemed co-host and guest, the one and only Mr. Joe Ferrand. Joe, how are you, man? You keeping cool? Pretty blazing here, but who's complaining, right?
Yeah, no, it's nice and warm, but it's like, you know what? Hey, it is summer in New England, so it's like it's going to be hot sooner or later, so it's all right.
You
turn up the heat. It's better than cold.
Yes, and everyone, keep cool out there. My little thing with keeping cool, if your AC buckles a little bit, simply go to the ice box, grab some ice cubes, put some ice on your wrist. There are pressure points in your body that will automatically cool your system down. It's a neat little trick to do. Takes a couple minutes. It will refresh you right away. That is my medical tip of the day. I do it all the time. But, hey, if you want to join Joe and I for the next 45 minutes, it's abbreviated because it's Thursday, please do at 516-387-1702. Just a programming note before we move on. Tomorrow we will do our normally slated Wednesday podcast with our baseball top five power rankings and our This Day in Pittsburgh Pirates history as well. And we'll talk a lot of baseball tomorrow on the show, unless anything breaks, but we're jack of all trades, masters of some. And we will be joined by special guest Jarvis Green, who has a lot to tell you about upcoming events. And if you're in the state of Florida, the Tampa area, and some other places down there, listen into tomorrow's show if you can. If not, get it live on blogtalkradio.com, because Jarvis is doing a lot of good things, doing some real big stuff in the state of Florida coming up in several weeks. So he's got a lot to talk about with former Patriot and former two-time Super Bowl champion Jarvis Green tomorrow on our show beginning at 4 p.m. Eastern Time right here on blogtalkradio.com. Once again, 516-387-1702. Pittsburgh at Philadelphia, Joe. Tonight, the Battle of Pennsylvania, the only other game on the state, but it is the Washington football team at New England. And, Joe, I was thinking, I want to get your opinion because, hey, you and I are OGs. We won't get into the numbers because we all know that. But this Patriot team, you know, there's a quarterback competition. And I was trying to think of the last time there was any sort of quarterback competition to any significance with this team. And the only two things I came up with were competitions that never really came to fruition. And the last one being in 1993, the competition between when Bill Parcells took over as the head coach of the New England Patriots, had the first-round pick, the competition was, who do you pick as the number one quarterback? We all know Drew Bledsoe went to the Patriots from Washington State. Rick Mira from Notre Dame went to Seattle with the number two. The last time they come up with something of significance was 1975, when the Patriots drafted Steve Grogan out of Kansas State. Jim Plunkett, who was the guy, went down in a preseason game against the Chargers, missed several weeks with a separated shoulder. Grogan took the helm, never looked back. So those aren't really in-camp competitions. So, Joe Ferrand, we're in some uncharted territory right now with this Patriot team, basically because we're still looking for the player to replace Tom Brady, who left the team 2 years ago and won a Super Bowl last year. But it's been a while. So the fever pitch to preseason game one is pretty, pretty high right now, Joe.
Oh, it's definitely – look, my take on this is I have my severe high doubts of Belichick actually giving a rookie a fair shake at quarterback. You know his reputation. He doesn't hate rookies, but he feels they need to earn their stripes, and mm-hmm. he gives rookies no chance in hell during the first year. But – Mac Jones is actually, from what reports are saying, has outplayed Cam Newton quite a bit in the preseason in camp. And supposedly, all we heard last year that during camp, during the practice, Cam showed everything he needed to show, and that Stidham was not showing enough. Well, reports have it that Mac Jones is showing up Cam Newton, and will he actually get a shot in the preseason to keep that up? And will Nikhil, you know, we'll see. I have my doubts whether Bill will actually do it because he seems to have a man crush on Cam. I would love to see it be a fair shake, but I have my doubts.
Joe Ferran, Johnny Sunchips here on a Thursday edition of the Hump Day Show with Chips and Jill. Once again, we're on blogtalkradio.com. If you want to join us live right now at 4:05 Eastern Time on the 12th of August, 2021, in this hot day, cool off, pull up a seat, give us a call, 516-387-1702. And we have a lot of Patriot fans who listen to our show. You're listening to us live. Patriot fans, what are you looking for from your team tonight? What are you looking for from the quarterback situation? Because that's the big one. But there are so many other storylines. But let's stick with the quarterback situation, Joe. We talk about Bill Belichick and not having the confidence in a lot of rookies, okay? But this is the first time in a long time that he needs to, I mean, it's an exception because the rookie here is a quarterback, and he's got to find the quarterback for the future. Long story short, this is a really interesting game because it's basically the second preseason game, so the evaluation process is much shorter. We've seen a lot of it in camp. Do you think, Joe, that Cam Newton could come out and lose his job tonight if he performs like he did last year, in a playoff, in a COVID year where he was just not a good quarterback at all passing the ball? Could he lose his job tonight if not performing well?
He could, but, I mean, look, to me, he's going to look decent. He's going to look semi-good. He can't be thrown 5 yards into the dirt or making these guys do shooting catches, or leading his guys to get crushed over the middle, which he did all last year. He's going to show that he's like his shoulder is semi-together because, look, Cam's shoulder is toast. Will it ever be the same? No, but can he get it to even 90%? I don't think so, and unless his shoulder's 90%, he can't have the same throw motion, so he's going to be at least semi-consistent tonight. And I'm not talking about running the ball because, you know what, we know he can run the ball. You know what he can do as an option quarterback. He needs to be able to throw the ball in a 10 to 20-yard range with consistency over the shoulder throws, not in the dirt. He needs to hit targets, lead them into the targets. And, like, he wasn't doing any of that last year. And he needs to prove it tonight. And you have one less game, granted, but he needs to prove something, and especially if Mac Jones comes in behind him and lights it up, or not even lights it up, but looks good.
Right.
And it's like, he could, because I would think there's going to be questions, because you know what, fans are, they're going to be all over him if he says that Cam won the job, if he plays lousy. We can't put up with it. We're not going to put it. Look, as fans, we're not going to put up with another losing year. Not if you got the product out there. Not if you keep on giving the same guy a chance when he sucked last year. And I'm not waiting for the, we're not waiting for the second year to find out that he sucked some more. When you get a legit college quarterback that seems like he can learn the game quickly.
Agreed. Joe Ferran, Johnny Sunchips here once again. If you want to join us, 516-387-1702. We'll be here for another 30 minutes or so. 35 minutes, yeah, about 30 minutes or so, but give or take. I want to see Cam. Cam Newton has to show me one thing and one thing only tonight. Well, one major thing, and that is get the ball downfield to receivers, giving them chances to catch the ball. That's simple. Throwing it with accuracy. I want to see Cam Newton play, and at least two-thirds of the time, at least, maybe more, pass the ball. Because we're not looking at it doesn't matter what the outcome is tonight. Who wins this game is of no significance whatsoever, and he's coming out against a really solid defense that is going to play really well, a defense that had some swag and is looking to prove something again, and with a lot of caveat, a lot of street cred led by Chase Young. So I need to see that from Cam. And, Joe, here's my one thing. And you heard the scuttlebutt if you listen to talk radio, that you know, Mike Giardi's of the world coming out and saying Mac Jones, and granted, we every day we focus on the quarterbacks, completion percentage, how he look, the poise, touchdown passes, accuracy, blah, blah, yada, 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 if you will, which doesn't really mean a thing. It's more talk fodder and talk radio diatribe to focus and generate conversation because there's nothing else. I get that. But if Cam Newton, in my opinion, if anyone needs to slam dunk anyone else, Cam Newton's got to slam dunk Mac Jones, being the veteran he is, being coming off that year. Now he's 1 year into the system. He's got to win this job outright because my opinion is, if this is a close competition, who's the quarterback of the future is Mac Jones. If it's a close competition, then you give Mac Jones the ball week one. Because if he's that close to winning a job, put him in there because it's going to benefit you in the long run. It's that simple to me. Cam Newton's got to really, really take a really large lead in this quarterback race to keep his quote-unquote starting hopes alive. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, I agree. Look, Cam needs to grab the reins, prove that he can do the job, prove that he's the number one without a shadow of a doubt, prove that he can do the job. He needs to prove it quickly, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts that he needs to totally, totally outplay Mac Jones to win the job outright. Whether, you know, I can he do it? Look, maybe he can, but you better prove it. You better have consistency. You better have be there. I don't want to see you run tonight. I want to see you in the pocket passing. I want to see passing. But as you said, the outcome of this game means absolutely nothing.
Right.
You need to have him prove that he can pass under pressure, or even he can throw the over the shoulder grab. He can throw a seam pass to the tight end. Can he throw a seam pass? Can he throw a quick out to a receiver? Too many times
right.
He couldn't do it last year. He needs to prove those things. A quick slant in, just simple passes that he couldn't do last year. He needs to prove he can do them. If he can't, then I'm with you. Give Mac Jones all the chance. Look, let him start week one. I think our defense will carry us this year. And why not have a rookie? Because, you know, if he can control the ball and be a system quarterback, I hate saying this, but if he can play the system right, he doesn't need to win the game outright. He just needs to be able to control the offense, keep them on the field, make some plays. And if he can do that, I'm happy with Mac Jones. As far as Cam, he needs to, like, he better slam dunk this. If he doesn't, then he should be a backup quarterback. Sorry, but a backup quarterback. If he can't prove it, then no, I can't wait. We can't wait 8-9 games into the season for you to finally click and get it right. No, we can't afford that.
Right. That's Joe Ferrand. I'm Johnny Sunchips. Once again, it's the Hump Day Show, Chips and Joe on blogtalkradio.com, Thursday edition. And we'll come to you tomorrow, Friday, at the same time, 4 p.m. Eastern, with our special guest, former Patriot Jarvis Green, two-time Super Bowl champion as well, and a good friend of the show's. But, yeah, so it's interesting tonight, and the quarterback position notwithstanding, that's the thing. But I think, Joe, deep down inside, we know, and we'll never know until the autobiography comes out, the love affair, really, that Bill Belichick had with Cam Newton last year. That cannot happen this year. I don't think he will. I think Bill Belichick cuts that umbilical cord. And I'm going to ask you this, because I don't think Cam Newton could be a backup on this team. I don't think he has the mental wherewithal, because as much as we've seen this guy be positive, we have seen him slump his head a little bit in this preseason. And that's been his DNA. He's shown it at all points during his career. So if it's in the DNA count in one Cam Newton, how is he going to handle Boos? How is he handle being a cheerleader on the bench, a clubhouse guy on the bench, right? I'm not so sure he can. So if he's not the starting quarterback, he may not be on this roster. And I'm going to go out on a limb right now. I still don't think he makes the team. I think, because I don't think he's going to start. I think Jones is going to get the starting quarterback job. I said that week. And I don't think Cam's going to be the backup. I don't think it behooves the team. It's my opinion. That's the other storyline with the quarterback. Your thoughts on Cam as a backup in New England if it comes to that?
Cam as a backup, I'll give you one word. Taysom Hill 2.0. That's the only way I see Cam being on this roster is New Orleans Saints, a.k.a. New England Patriots, of Cam coming in, certain situations, certain areas of the field, playing it that way. Other than that, I don't see him just being a blatant, flat-out backup. I'm with you. He doesn't have the DNA. It's not in his DNA to be a backup.
Yeah.
I don't think he said all the right things last year, but he won't say all the right things this year being a outright backup. No, most quarterbacks cannot accept the fact that they're a backup quarterback after being a starter for that many years. Cam being one of them. I don't think he would be able to handle it. It would be detrimental to the team to keep him as a backup. I would say let him go. And I say if he's not, I'm with you. If he's not the starting quarterback on this team, I don't see him on the roster. You don't need that division in the locker room. Not whatsoever.
Right.
So if he's not the starter, he's definitely, I'm with you 100%, Chips. He will not be on this roster.
Yeah, I just can't see it unless he all of a sudden takes a different change of heart. But at this point in his career, it's not going to behoove him. I mean, I think we've seen some comments in today talking about how he doesn't recover, gets dinged up a little bit. And I'm paraphrasing, if you will. But he's sort of coming back a little down to earth from the old Superman tag. I don't know what his MO is. But that being said, I agree with you. And if he's gonna, and you can't have a distraction on this team if it's a Mac Jones there. And I know his fans are looking for week four. But if you're Patriots, it's one game at a time. And you got three games before the Tampa Bay game in week four of the season, but there's still a long way to go. And it all starts at about 7:30 up here in Foxborough as the Washington Football Club with a really stingy defense. And Fitzpatrick and a sparky little offense with some – and the Washington team's got some players on both sides of the ball. So they're not going to be any slouch over. And we're going to see how their defense fares against the Patriots' offense and vice versa. But I want to talk to you about a guy who we've really kicked to the curb the past couple of years, and we've used that term bust. And he's having a really nice camp thus far, and that's N'Keal Harry. That's another guy. That's a storyline I want to see tonight. Because, you know, if you look at the depth charts, and they're all unofficial, you have him behind Aguilar, Jacoby Myers on the other side with Kendrick Bourne Wilkerson. Right now you have Jacoby Myers and Aguilar as number one and two. This could change really quickly. Your thoughts on N'Keal Harry, and could this be the guy that we were all supposed to see? Because that's one guy I want to pay attention to tonight on the football field. And who does he gain rapport with for the quarterback? And that's another kid. But N'Keal Harry has really looked impressive thus far.
We've kicked N'Keal Harry so many times. There's another reason he's turning black and blue. This is me stating this early, and I'll say it right now. I haven't watched any camp. I haven't heard anything. But Aguilar is the most overrated wide receiver the Patriots have ever, ever had on their roster. And I'll say that now, before the season even starts, before one snap of a preseason game. I say N'Keal Harry and Jacoby Myers will be one and two by the time camp is done. Aguilar had a nice year last year with the Raiders, but he's the most overrated. He's got speed. He has not shown me enough to, like, no. I like Jacoby Myers. I really hope that N'Keal Harry's training camp translates into a good in preseason. And that doesn't mean he's going to go out there and get 10 catches. It just means that he's going to have chances, be open, know how to make the cuts, make that over the shoulder. He showed a little flashes last year when the ball was thrown over his shoulder and fade routes that he can go up there and he can jump for the ball and get it. He's just going to be willing to do the dirty things, gritty things to make what wide receivers are great. I think he can, and I hope he does. And I'm looking forward to good things from him because, you know, that would be nothing but a plus for the Patriots, if he can be not even an A-type wide receiver, a B-plus wide receiver,
or B wide receiver would be perfect. You don't have to be a superstar, but you still got to be a serviceable wide receiver, which he hasn't shown yet.
You mentioned N'Keal Harry, and it'd be a really good, it'd be a nice story coming out of camp if he were to break camp and maybe be not the number one, but be the, at least the number two. Because hey, I'll gladly say I was wrong, because we were all calling. Some people calling us after the first year, and people who were saying give him a chance wasn't sure because Brady was pouting and whatnot, yada yada yada. After last year, we're like, okay, all those people who were sitting on the fence were basically on the bus train with N'Keal Harry. So from that aspect, he's really shown a lot of mental fortitude in coming back and kind of ignoring all that, if you will, for lack of a better term, and it'd be a really nice story. And one thing I want to see, because I think he could be a better route runner than Aguilar, and I think you put him to Aguilar, and I know I'm not as down on him as you are. He well could be the free agent signing, but he's great. He's got speed. I question his route running. And he, if you get the ball thrown up and he goes up for it, he'll come down with it. But I don't think he's a great route runner. And I think in this offense, with timing, and we saw it with Brady, that's you need that timing. You need the guys running the routes, being where the ball is supposed to be before it's there. I think this is one aspect that N'Keal Harry can jettison himself to the top of the pack, or at least over at Nelson Aguilar in that number two spot. So I agree with you there. I like what you say from the wide receivers. That's another. The wide receiver spot is something I'm going to be keyed on tonight. Joe Foran, Johnny Sunship's here on blogtalkradio.com on the Hump Day Show with Chips and Joe. It is 4:21 p.m., and if you want to join us live on Blog Talk Radio, please do it, 516-387-1702. Okay, let's move over to the tight end position. Hunter Henry, a little dinged up this week. By the way, he has not played the full season in his career. Are you a little concerned about that and what they gave him?
Look, I like him as a tight end, but we overpaid him a little bit too much for my liking. Jones, on the other side of tight end, hasn't played a full season in a while neither. So we got two tight ends with a history of being dinged up. Henry supposedly is only 2 weeks and then he'll be back, but that doesn't bode well for the start of the season. So here we go. It's like, you know, a key position, and we're not even sure who's going to be a tight end. I like Jonas Jones. I like the other two rookies that we had last year. I think they can grow a little bit. Now they might have more of a shot. I don't know. It's an open position as far as the tight end goes, but I'll keep the optimism out there. Without Henry, though, it's like that's a key cog in the offense as far as, you know, we're supposed to go double tight ends. We could, you know, it brings back the days of Gronk and Hernandez, but let's see.
Agreed. And, you know, I mean, Hunter Henry's been injured his whole career a little bit. So you knew that going in. So the fact that he's dinged up, not really a surprise. It just needs other people to step up. John Wilson could have a good year. I think he's, in this offense, I think his career receptions, career year is 41 receptions. He could destroy that if he's healthy. But you're looking at a guy like Devin Asiasi, who could step up a little bit. He's got some game. He's highly touted coming out of UCLA. I've seen good things from him. He could step up into that role. So you may have a two or three tight end set, and you're going to look at blocking from those tight ends as well in that aspect. But let's move to the running back position. Damian Harris, I'm looking for big things from him. Looks a lot bigger in camp. What are your thoughts on him? Solidify that running back spot as the number one over Sony Michel. Oh, and do you like J.J. Taylor, who's shown some flashes? So, again, you may have that solid running back spot in Damian Harris, but you have Sony Michel and James White and J.J. Taylor. And I like Taylor with those other three to maybe move up on that depth chart.
I like J.J. Taylor as a difference. It's like, you know, not playing every down, but it's like he's a good change of pace back to being there. Look, but the only thing is if you got J.J. Taylor, you better make sure you hand him the ball a few times here and there, because teams will key on it if they know that he's in there to come out of the backfield and run the ball. I mean, the catch pass out of the backfield. Teams key on stuff like that. They watch film. So it's like as long as J.J. Taylor gets to run the ball once in a while, It'll keep teams off balance. I like that idea. Look, James White is Mr. Consistency personified. It's like I look for another solid year out of him. I like Harris as the lead back. I think we don't need, though. Burkhead can be replaced like anybody else. Bolden will be back, but he'll be mostly special teams. I like J.J. Taylor as far as, he's just like that off back, coming out of the backfield, catching a little swing pass, doing a wheel route, being on a linebacker, and he's got more speed than any linebacker out there. So
right.
I like that idea out of him. But I like Harris to be just the north-south runner. Just run the ball. Don't try to get fancy. Don't try to go wide. Just find a hole and take what you got for yards and go with it. He's shown he can do that.
Yeah.
I think we got a better offensive line this year than we did last year. Not much, but it's still better. I think they can create a few holes for him. And I think he'll have a good year.
I do, too. And I like Taylor. He reminds me of the year that when Deion Lewis was with the Patriots and what he provided, that spark, is that lateral movement, that quickness that can make tackles miss, if you want to use him at the end of the game, kind of refresh and kind of re-energize. He could really spin some linebackers around, and he's got the power to burst through to the secondary. I like what he brings to the table, so I think he's going to be a very important part. Maybe not a 20-down back sort of guy, but a guy who you can maybe third down and short, kind of offset him a little bit, able to catch a ball out of the backfield. So I like J.J. Taylor in his role, too. I think he's got a spot on this team. But let's move to the defense. And, the linebacker situation looks pretty solid. Hightower, Van Noy, Judon. I mean, you've got Juwan Bentley there, Uche. They're pretty solid at this linebacker spot, Joe. I look for the big things from the linebackers and the pressure they can do in covering some of these players on the flat. Are you a little concerned, Hightower, with the opt-out last year, losing that year, maybe being a little slower?
Maybe a little, but I like Hightower because Bentley last year was put in positions where he couldn't do the job. He was not – that was not made for him. Certain downs he was in there where he shouldn't have been because he's not as quick as other linebackers. But I like the idea of diversity that we have in linebackers this year so you can play the downs and distance and you can play the different ones because we were getting – run on last year, right and left. I mean, we were just
right.
They were gassing us for 6, 7, 8 yards on first down and didn't leave much on second down. I think we're better defensively for the run this year. We had to play too many nickel and dime situations because we didn't have enough healthy linebackers last year. I like the idea we can play the prototypical Patriot defense without playing nickel and dime on first and second down because teams were taking advantage of it last year, right and left. I think this year we can put a lot of teams in the 2nd and 8, 2nd and 9. It's like, or even 2nd and 11 because I think we'll be a lot better run defense than we ever thought of last year. I'm looking for bigger things out of Uche because he showed some flashes last year. I liked him a lot. He had the motor. Even though we weren't winning, his motor skills didn't seem to slow down. He always seemed to be in the game and want to
You're
do more, so I like that.
Yeah, I do too. But the biggest story to me on the defense is in the cornerback position, the secondary, Stephon Gilmore. I mean, what's he thinking now? He could up his stock tonight because if that secondary does not perform well, Stephon Gilmore's like, you guys really need me now. Here's my problem. You're a diehard pass fan, right? So
yep.
Gilmore. I know Gilmore. The Pats fans, I say, they'll sign him to some contract before the season ends. But don't you want to get that done as soon as possible? Because I know it's in good shape, but you don't want this to drag out because you have 3 preseason games and a lot of players hold out during the course of camp and they're behind and you're not in football shape. So if the Patriots want to sign Gilmore, and I would hope that they want to with all the acquisitions they've gotten this far to improve this team, if they want to, just get it done. Stop being frugal. Stop lowballing the guy. Get it done. That gets him up to speed as soon as possible. The longer this goes on, the longer it hurts the organization. I don't care if they sign Gilmore. You want to save a couple $1 million? So be it. But get him in camp if that's what you really want to do. And I'm not sure they want to do that yet. But that's J.C. Jackson's on the hot seat tonight, along with the rest of that secondary. And Stephen Gilmore sitting right back and looking at him and maybe adding a couple of decimal points to what he's going to get. Your thoughts?
J.C. Jackson is not a number one cornerback. He's a solid, solid number two.
Compliment.
He proved last year that he's not a number one, and we so need Gilmore out there because Jackson makes that secondary better with Gilmore there. He makes it a solid two combination, whereas without Gilmore, he becomes the number one, and he was badly, badly getting outplayed last year by number one wide receivers. Look, I like J.C. Jackson. He's just not – he hasn't taken that step up to being a the guy, the shutdown corner that the Patriots thought they could get out of him. He didn't make that step last year. He didn't make that jump. And there's no guarantee he'll make that jump now. And it's like you said, he's got a lot on his shoulders riding tonight. And it's like he has a lot to prove. And it's like, I just stop being deep. Get Gilmore back in camp. Sign him. Even if it's a one-year deal, just sign him. Get him in there, like
right.
you said, because the longer this goes on, the uglier it becomes, the less, look, I don't care how much you stay in shape. There's nothing equals playing in a game. Nothing.
You need that. And they need him, in my opinion, if they want to go where they want to be. And I just don't understand if you're committed to winning, you just do it, especially when you've unloaded a lot of money already. There's really no excuse. You're right. You sign him for 1 year. It's a power struggle. It's egos. I get it. But he's what you need. Because let's face it, guys, the Patriots upgraded, and we know that they're going to be competitive. But the rest of the division did as well. Buffalo's a better team, in my opinion. The Dolphins coming up a 10-6 year, hungry, well-coached. They are solid. They're right there with you, if not a little bit better. We'll get into the power rankings on NFL.com in a minute. And, oh, by the way, the Jets are going to be better because they've got a quarterback for the first time since, and I don't know how long. So all these teams are getting better, so you still are not even the best team in your division. So you're going to have to fight and scratch in there just to do it. Set yourselves up. You've gone this far. Get Gilmore in. I mean, do it midweek. If they go into next week and Gilmore is not signed, and if you're a Patriots fan, I'm really concerned about it.
Oh, I agree. Because they go up past this next week and no Gilmore, I'm nervous that they're going into the season without Gilmore. And I don't want that happening whatsoever.
Yeah.
They can ill afford to stop playing Powerball with the guy trying to freaking get him to sign on the cheap. No, just give him the money.
That's it. Agreed. And especially the fan base. Fans, do we really care about – I mean, if you're a dire Patriot fan, do you really care about how much the Patriots are giving them as a fan? No. You don't care about the money. You just want to compete. And you're one season removed from a 20-year reign, which is unlike any we've seen in any major sport, maybe any sport ever in the history of sports, period. Not going to happen again. You need to kind of find a way to get up to that speed, and you're 1 year removed from a replacement for TB12. So in order to do that and to bring fans back and to keep them there, it's to win ball games. And defensively, Stephon Gilmore helps you win ball games. So, you know, Joe, all the talk about the Jimmy Garoppolo stuff with the, you know, is he going to be the quarterback in San Francisco? And you listen to ESPN, the pundits, you know, it's like, well, Dave, it's quarterback in the waiting, and it's not Jimmy Garoppolo. I still think he's going to be the quarterback for the 49ers, but there's still a lot of people who say, you know, if he's traded, is there any shot of him coming over to the Patriots? Well, just a numbers game. Mac Jones has his number 10. So just for craps and giggles, does that mean we're not going to see Jimmy Garoppolo for the Patriots? Because Mac Jones is wearing number 10, the first quarterback to do so since Jimmy G.
That would be curious of if the next week or so San Francisco decides to move on from Jimmy G. Would Bill in the middle of training camp trade with Jimmy G? I don't know. It's like, what if Mac Jones plays well tonight and Bill finally has in his mind that, yeah, I'm going to let Mac Jones play? But I goes to say is, will they bring Jimmy G on? Not when they know that Mac Jones is their future. It's like,
right.
you bring in Jimmy G, but it's like, you know, he's still young. So why would you bring him in? It's like only for a year at that kind of money. No, I think that ship has sailed now that they drafted Mac Jones because they have no choice. I don't see Jimmy Jones ever, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo ever coming here. I don't see that. I don't see it happening now.
Well, it certainly wouldn't be for Mac Jones. It would be for somebody else, and then Mac Jones, who's still a rookie quarterback, could learn behind Garoppolo. I agree with you. I said it all along. I still said he's not going to be a Patriot again. So just like that, that's going to see that ship is sailed. Look for Green Bay if Rodgers holds out. A trade there could be evident. I mean, we don't know, but that's going to be intriguing. I think Jimmy G's going to open the season with the 49ers. It could all change. Who the heck knows? But, again, if you want to join us, this is the Thursday edition of the Hump Day Show with Chips and Joe. I had to catch my breath there on this hot day. We are on blogtalkradio.com for another 10 minutes or so. And we're going to get into our power rankings, but we will be on the air tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel, a little bit earlier at 4 p.m. Eastern time. We're going to be joined by Jarvis Green, a former New England Patriots defensive lineman and two-time Super Bowl champion. And we'll talk some baseball with our top five at five. But, Joe, the power rankings, let's get a score update first of all, shall we? So there's a game going on in Boston, and it is bottom of the second, one out, and it's a scoreless tie. The Sox batting with one out in the bottom of the second, looking to win 2 out of 3 in that very important game 3 of a series against the first place Rays. But, Joe, let's get into the power rankings. Right? Patriots?
Yeah.
We'll be quick about it. Power rankings come out. Obviously, the Buccaneers are number one, okay? Kansas City,
yeah,
number two. Bills at number three, and I agree with that. Green Bay at four. The Ravens at five. The Rams at six.
That's a surprise.
Seattle at seven, which I disagree. But let's get down. I'm going eight, Cleveland. Stop me when you see the team that you root for. San Francisco 49ers at 9. Pittsburgh Steelers, number 10. Tennessee Titans at 11. The Los Angeles Chargers at number 12. The New Orleans Saints with a quarterback controversy. No Michael Thomas and no Jarius Jenkins in the backfield are at 13. Just ahead of your New England Patriots at number 14, who are one ahead of your surrogate best team, the Miami Dolphins. Patriots at number 14, previously ranked number 8. Here, number 18, here's what we go. It says Cam Newton needs to step up if he hopes to fend off rookie Matt Jones for the starting job in week 1. The Athletic reported that Newton is up to 7 interceptions in camp after a pick and team drills on Monday. Meanwhile, Jones, the first-round selection out of Alabama, has strung together good performances in recent days. Obviously, these things can change. Are you okay with that ranking? Because that's in the top 15 of the NFL. I'm not so sure I hold him that high. Your thoughts?
Actually, I was reading Bleacher Report, and Bleacher Report had them ranked at number 17, saying they had the talent – there, they have the where's all to do it to make a deep playoff run, but they still had them ranked 17. The Washington football team was ahead of them. Dallas Cowboys were ahead of them. And I would look, if I'm going to put New England anywhere, I'm going to put them middle of the pack, 16, and about that general range, because until you figure out this quarterback situation, no. And until the defense proves they can actually be decent, where are you getting the 14 from? I'm like, I beat, and no offense, but I don't put Tampa Bay at number one. I just, look, I'm not knocking them. I'm not saying they can't do it. I just, you got to prove to me you're still hungry enough to go out and get it. I know Tom's hungry enough. That's Tom's MO. But is he
right, biggest
to get the rest of these guys to play and not get a Super Bowl hangover from winning it? Are they hungry, and do they want the championship again? Only time will tell, but as far as my team, 14's too high. Well, where are they getting it from? Because how many times have us Patriots fans
laughed at the Bills, laughed at the Dolphins, saying, oh, yeah, you won the free agency period, but the real season begins first week of the season. So we signed a bunch of guys. We kind of signed too much money. Now let's see if we can get them to play and translate into wins. There's no guarantee because we signed that we're going to win. We can't wake up to 6 to 8 wins in the division like we used to 10 years ago.
Rolling out of bed and going to an AFC championship game is long gone. Actually, not long gone, but it's a thing of the past, and it's gonna objects in the mirror are much objects in the mirror are not as close as they appear, if you will. But you know, you talk about how they ranked up to 18 to 14. If you read the paragraph, it talks about Cam Newton and Mac Jones, and it talks about Mac Jones stepping up. And here's how they go from 18 to 14. Two reasons. Mac Jones looks better in camp, number one. And number two, it's the head coach. If Bill Belichick was not coaching this team, they'd be no higher than 20. So those are the reasons. So you put Mac Jones and Bill Belichick together, I think that's NFL.com's reason for bringing, for upping their ranking from 18 to 14. And at the end it says Bill Belichick seems to respect Newton's work ethic and tenacity, respect. But Jones appears to have a real opportunity over the next month. If this is any close of a battle, and we're going to see it tonight, he has no choice but to give Mac Jones, the future of this team, the ball preseason one. And you solidify your backup, be it Brian Hoyer, be it Jared Stidham, and if Cam Newton can get out of his DNA, that poutiness, it'd be him. But you can't worry about that if you're the coach. You've got a great leader with a great work ethic, and the players love him. But the players want to win. And if Cam Newton isn't winning games and getting these players the ball and doing what he has to do, as a coach, as an organization, as a player, you've got to move on. So if this is a close quarterback competition at the end of camp, no choice. It has to go to Mac Jones. You don't lose anything, in my opinion. Again, your thoughts, Joe?
Yeah, no, I agree. Look, you gotta let Mac Jones. You're gonna sink or swim with him this year. I think his DNA so far. He of all the quarterbacks who drafted in the first round, he was the most NFL ready, and it's showing in preseason. It's showing in training camp that he gets it. He can pick it up quickly. They're gonna win or lose with Mac Jones. Plain and simple, they've got to go with him. I say go with him, and see where we go with it, and see what happens. Because unfortunately, it's not gonna end pretty if they have Cam Newton starting game one. It's not gonna end pretty.
No, and I think Patriot fans deep down in their heart of hearts have to be rooting for the future, because that's what you're looking forward to now. Even if Cam Newton is successful, he's still not the future. He's out after the year unless something drastic happens. But if you're a Patriot fan, you have to be rooting for Mac Jones tonight. And I am. I'm a bipartisan. I'm not my diehard team. But I'm rooting for them to do good because I like Bill Belichick, and I'm rooting for Mac Jones because I like what he brings. I like his demeanor. But, Joe, that's going to do it. Listen, I will talk to you again tomorrow, Joe. We'll ramp it up tomorrow. But enjoy the game tonight. Thanks for joining me on this Hump Day Thursday edition, my friend. Always a pleasure.
No problem. Look, I got my homework to do without top 5 of 5 because it's like I got some homework to do. And we'll be ready. We'll be ready and roaring tomorrow with our good friend Jarvis. Hopefully he can join us and we can talk. We can talk of what he's up to and things he's doing in his life. And it should be a good day tomorrow. And I enjoyed today's talk. It's good therapeutic medicine after a day of work.
Good stuff, man. Always a pleasure to you. Therapy for me, too. We get a 90-minute show coming up tomorrow, Joe. I will talk to you then. And that's going to do it here. Once again, Joe and I, blogtalkradio.com, Hump Day Friday edition on blogtalkradio.com here, live starting at 4 p.m. Eastern. Special guest Jarvis Green. We'll talk baseball. 90 minutes of nonstop diatribe. What better thing to ask for? All right, guys. Still, continue to be safe. Wear your mask. Be courteous of others. Stay hydrated. Take care. Stay well. Have a great afternoon. We'll talk to you very soon. Thanks for listening.
Talk to you tomorrow.